morning, I think we're ready to start chapter 8 of Matthew. How do you guys feel about that? Good? All right. Welcome to the Sunday morning discussion, adult discussion group. Well, semi-adult. Sometimes we act like this. Here at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we just love to talk about our Lord. Anyway, we're going to start the 8th chapter of Matthew this morning. And how about my Mikey? Would you start us off in a little prayer?
Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for an opportunity to sit here this morning and hear your word and read your word and understand your word. And Father, just to thank you for all the things you're doing in our lives and in the congregation. And we give you all praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to say one thing out of chapter 7 before we go in. Ah, yes. The last verse, it says, well, let's do 7:28 and 29, and then we'll go into 8. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. That I didn't want to slip over that, because it reminded me of the day that I finally heard with my heart and understood reconciliation. And it says, for he taught them as one having authority, hallelujah, and not as the scribes. He had authority and he spoke with authority, and he was able by his authority to make people understand and trust in the words that he was saying. Because he is truth. So anyway, then when we go into chapter 8, how about our readers here? Let's go to, let's go to 4.
Okay. All right, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great throngs bowed to him, and behold, a leper came up to him and prostrated himself, worshiping him. You are able to cleanse me by curing me. And he reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed, by being cured. And instantly, his leprosy was cured and cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell nothing about this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offerings that Moses commanded for a testimony to your healing and as an evidence to the people.
Okay.
I was going to ask a question. I mean, I understand Moses commanded, but was that actually a law then? I mean, that they had to... If something happened to them like that, they had to go to the priest to tell them this is what happened to me?
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. Or to prove that the leprosy was gone.
Leviticus.
They had to show themselves.
Yeah, Leviticus 13. Let's see, 13. Where is it? Starts there somewhere in there. You start maybe about 9 or so. It says, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, the rising of a white in the skin, it hath turned the hair white. There be a quick raw flesh in the rising. It is an old leprosy, and in the skin of the flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever even the priest looketh. And the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all the flesh, he shall pronounce him clean. That hath the plague, it is all turned white, he is clean. So anyway, it goes on and tells all about it. But Jesus is telling them, he was, well, I've said this before, but you have to realize that Jesus hadn't died yet, so they were still under the law. So he was still, he was bringing in the new covenant, but he was also still under, they were still under the law.
So he was telling them to fulfill the law?
So he did tell them, you go and present yourself to the priest, like it says in Leviticus. See, in other words.
Was that 12 to 5 that you read? No, 13 to 5 that you read?
Well, it's Leviticus 13. I actually went way up above there. I went up to about 9, but that whole thing sort of deals with leprosy.
On the 5th verse, it says, the priest shall look on him. Uh-huh. The 7th. I think it's important.
Yeah, well,
he shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague is his sight, be at stay, that is not spreading, is what it says. And the plague spreads not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 more days. Otherwise, he's got to separate himself.
They separate. No, yeah, you had to separate. Mm-hmm. If you were walking down the street, if you had leprosy, you had to holler unclean, unclean, and everybody go to the extremely get away from you. And but the whole chapter 13 basically deals with that. You know, if you, I just was reading a little portion of it.
See, that just blows my mind and takes, because first of all, Jesus is telling them things with authority that they've never heard before. They were astonished. And then a man with leprosy, which says it's a defilement of the flesh. That's exactly what human beings, you know, it's like the way that the human race is. Our flesh is defiled. And this man, probably because of the things he heard Jesus say, had the courage to come up to him and bow before him and say, you are, you know, Lord, and you can heal me of this defilement of my flesh.
He was going, according to what we know now, mm-hmm. he was going to the high priest, that is the high priest. Mm-hmm. But if you go back to 7, it says, on 13:7, it says, but if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he had to be seen, of the priest for his cleansing. Otherwise, they were going to the priest for his cleansing. That's why they had to show him again. And it says, and he shall be seen of the priests again. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'll check him out. They'll separate him for 7 days. They'll go and check him again. There's a time frame here. But it always deals with the priests.
Well, think about the time frame. How many days was it?
7.
What's the 7 the number of? 7 the number for God.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, when Jesus, who is our high priest, was telling him, be thou clean, or, you know, I would that thou be clean. The high priest was telling him that. That wasn't coming back from here, but it was actually bringing him before the only high priest that we have, of the course of Melchizedek. But, I mean, it was just, I'm thinking, well, he actually fulfilled it. Isn't that why Jesus told him to go tell the priest?
He told him. He told him to go and show himself to the natural priest, because they would have already known that he had leprosy.
Right.
They would have already looked at him and proclaimed him as a leper. And I like what it says here in the King James verse 3. It says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him." You did not touch anybody with leprosy.
Right.
You know, in the natural, you know, you got as far away from them as you could, so you didn't get leprosy. And touched him with his hand, saying, "I will." I like that.
Amen.
And then there's a pause there. "I will, be thou clean." And you come up into the New Testament in Ephesians, and he says he works all things after the counsel of his own will.
Yeah.
And when he says, "I will," then it's going to be done.
And how soon after that did the leprosy go away?
It went away right then.
It's immediately.
Do you remember what happened when Moses was sent to Pharaoh? Moses stuck his hand inside of his breast and pulled it out, and he had leprosy on his hand. Then he put his hand back in his breast and pulled it out, and it was gone.
I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was part of Moses. That was part of him showing to Pharaoh that there was something miraculous happening.
Right.
You know, not just when he threw down his staff, it turned into a snake, but their musicians could do that too. Mm-hmm. But when he threw down his staff, it swallowed their staffs, mm-hmm. swallowed their snakes. But yeah, if you go back, he'd stick his hand in his bosom and said, or you know, in his breast, and then he'd pull it out, and it would have leprosy on his hand. Then he'd put it back in there, pull it out, and it was gone.
Gone.
That was God's way of showing the miraculous. Well, but do you know today, I'll tell you a little side story here on the leprosy. Today, there isn't hardly any leprosy, and where there is in country. They have some kind of medication that they can give you, I don't know if it's a shot or what it is, and they've eradicated the leprosy. Mm-hmm. But in countries where they don't have access to that, people still get leprosy. And if you see somebody, I've seen pictures of people with leprosy, they get all deformed looking, and it's horrible. It's a horrible disease. I mean, it ain't like you could have leprosy and somebody wouldn't know you had it, because they'd know, because mm-hmm. they're looking at you, because you'd be a mess, you know. But I've heard them say that they actually could totally eradicate that nowadays with medication, because they have something that will knock it out.
I like what this says in the Living Bible on Matthew 8:3. Jesus touches the man. "I want to," he says, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappears.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the story you used to tell. "Now you see me, now you don't." Jesus playing with the kids, and all of us playing with different children, playing hide and go seek. We can go on the other side of the door, right? They can't see us, right? But with Jesus, it was just like, to me, it was a lot like Thomas. Thomas came in to the room. He hadn't seen Jesus, and then he said to him, not to him, but to them, he didn't know that he was there because he had disappeared, but then it said all of a sudden he appeared to him. I'd say he was in the room.
That's Exodus 4:6. About Moses, if you want to look at it or want to read it.
Exodus 4:6?
Yeah, Exodus 4:6.
You had a piece of paper right there in Exodus 4, didn't you? But
Lord said unto Moses,
that's beautiful.
"Put your hand inside your cloak." So he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, he had leprosy. And then when he put it back in, it was gone.
It says in King James here, it says, "But the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, the hand was leprosy and as snow."
Yeah.
Was it talk about snow? As white as snow, as clean as snow.
Yeah, part of how they judged it.
Yes.
The leprosy was gone between, I guess, your skin turned back white.
Right.
But because if you read up in Leviticus, what we was reading before, that of course combines with what the priests would tell the people, you know, if it was white, they were okay.
In the 7th verse it says, "And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as to the other flesh." Otherwise, it was normal.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds, it just keeps bringing to my memory, if reality should break forth. Number one, when it comes to the flesh, if reality should break forth, we would be walking around saying, "Unclean, unclean," because our flesh, you know. But if reality really were to break forth, wow, we'd be white as snow because Jesus is the truth and he speaks with one of authority and he does everything according to his good will. And he, you know, there is no need. I think when Jesus gave that talk to them up on the hillside there, he took away their reason for fear. And that's what the teaching of reconciliation did to me.
Yeah.
It took away my fear of I'm going to burn in hell. If I don't do this, you know, it was a works fear, a fear of doing the works. If I do this, I'm going to go to hell. And if I do that, okay, I'm going to be okay until the next time I screw up. But when, if reality were to break forth, we would see that it is truly a process of cleaning the leprosy.
When Jesus rose from the dead, he had a flesh and bone body.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say anything about blood. Scripture says the life of the flesh is in the blood. We're not, you're not supposed to eat anything that has blood in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it actually has blood in it, according to the law. You know, and I believe that what happened when Adam, this is just my beliefs now, I'm not saying that, but I believe what happened with Adam when he sinned, his blood was polluted. You know, and mankind's blood has been polluted
ever
and
since.
All diseases that all the bad diseases usually flow through your body through your blood. You know, that's why you get the shots, because they go inside, it gets in your bloodstream, and you know, but it's. But when he rose, it says that he had a flesh and bone body. I'm not saying he ain't blood anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he poured out his blood. And that was the one thing I found interesting one time about, I know you guys might have heard this before, about that Ron Hyatt supposedly finding the Ark of the Covenant over in Jerusalem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it was, this is just what he says. This is not, I don't know if this is true. I don't know anything about it other than what he said. He says that he was walking along one day and he was actually like an anesthesiologist is what he did for a living, but he also was like a archaeologist too, like a, that was his hobby, you know. And he would go over into the Middle East and he would do digs and try to find stuff. And he said that he was walking around one day, this is what he said in one of the tape things that I saw. He said that he was walking around one day and he walked by, this place was trash, and he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, that over there is Jeremiah's grotto. And he said, the Ark of the Covenant's in there. You know, because they never could find the Ark of the Covenant. Right. They don't know what happened to it. And supposedly he went over there and he dug, and the reason he got permission from the I can't think what you call them, the antiquities people in Israel. They won't let you dig and do things without you having a permit. You can't do nothing over there unless you have a permit. Well, him and some of his people supposedly went swimming in the Gulf of Aqaba or something like that, and they had been looking for the burial pots for the Philistines for years over there. Nobody had ever been able to find them, you know. And supposedly the story went, and if I as best I can remember, the story went he bumped his foot on something under the water, and they went down under the water and got to checking around, and they found the burial pots of the Philistines, you know. So when they went to, they told the antiquity people, you know, in Israel, and so when he went to the antiquity people and asked them, could he dig over there, you know, over at what he was calling Jeremiah's grotto, and there was a lot of garbage dumped over there and all kind of stuff. Well, supposedly he dug down into there and he got he finally got down enough to where he broke into this cavern. And when he broke into this cavern, he saw a box in there, a big box, you know, like a big, I don't know, sarcophagus or whatever you want to call it. And he saw some different things in there, like some various things that would have been in the temple, you know what I mean? Well, he supposedly clung down in there and he looked, and he actually came overcome. He kind of like passed out and different things. And he looked and he moved the lid and the Ark of the Covenant was in there, is what he said, okay. And he said that on the top of it, there was this brown looking substance, you know. And he said he scraped some of it off. Well, where that was right above it was where Jesus was crucified. Mm-hmm. And what he said that when there was places where they stuck the, you know, the crosses down in the ground, mm-hmm. three holes up there. And he said, and there was a crack right in one of them. And he said, what he said, now I don't know if this is true or anything else, but what he said is he said when Jesus was crucified, he felt like his blood flowed down, went down through that crack and fell on the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, and that's that makes sense to me if you know, because mm-hmm. that would have been the true sacrifice going on to the Ark of the Covenant. He says that he scraped a little bit of that brown stuff off of there and he took it and he wanted the people in Israel to test it and they wouldn't. And I might be getting this a little bit wrong because I can't remember exactly what it was, because it was years ago when I read this and saw this video. Mm-hmm. And he says that he took it to a lab. And I'm trying to think of what they say. I think they said in chromosomes, you have 26, I think it is. I think it's 26 male chromosomes and 26 female chromosomes in the body or something, and that's what makes you who you are. Mm-hmm. When they tested it, supposedly, they said they had 26, or whatever that number was, I'm going to say 26 chromosomes, female chromosomes, but only 25 chromosomes of a male. So he said it wasn't like any human blood they'd ever seen before. So if you look at it that way, then, you know, that's why Jesus' blood was so powerful. It was God's blood, you know. It had a different amount of chromosomes. But he says that he told them about it, and they didn't want to bring it out because they were afraid that it would create a war, because the Muslims would have wanted to not for it not to be seen. And anyway, so that was the story. You know, I don't know if that's true, but it was interesting anyway.
So they left it there. They never did anything.
It's still there. Right. They haven't taken it out of that grotto. Apparently, they have opened up, from what I've seen later on, another article about it. They said that they had opened up the thing, the entrance to it. See, he went through another way, because he dug down and supposedly got in there. But they went through another way later on, and they did get in there. And they said now they've got it barred off where you can't get in there. They got it like a, you know, some kind of iron bars and all mm-hmm. stuff. You can't get in there. But he says it's in there. And he says that when they build the temple, they'll probably bring it out. Because once they bring it out, then that would make it to where all the stories in the Bible are true. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Supposedly, like. But I always said that I didn't think they would ever find the Ark of the Covenant. Myself, in the studying that I've done in the Bible over the years, I always said that they would never find the Ark of the Covenant, because you're the Ark of the Covenant now. You know, he's written his laws in your hearts and in your mind, and your sins and your iniquities he remembers no more. Mm-hmm. But that would explain the actual blood sacrifice going on to, and that would make sense, you know, as far as the way, what the tradition was. The high priest would go in once a year with blood without of a lamb, without spot, without wrinkle, you know, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, mm-hmm. you know. And that would be, that could be if it really happened, and I don't know that it did or it didn't. But if it did, that would explain the blood being shed on Calvary and all that stuff, and then if it went down through the ground and fell on the mercy seat, would be the total fulfillment of that.
How old, as far as you know, to remembrance?
Please.
How old is that story that you were saying?
Well, the first time I seen that story, I'll tell you where the first time I seen that story. I seen it, Brother Carl, had a video that he had gotten from somebody.
Carl Hamlin.
Mm-hmm. And that would be what, probably 30 years ago?
At least.
That guy's dead now.
What's this guy's name?
Ron Hyatt.
Heineck?
Hyatt. Like Hyatt Hotels?
H-Y-A-T-T?
I guess. I don't know how you spell it. It could be spelled anyway, the way words are, you know. Mm-hmm. It's Ron Hyatt.
I'll look him up.
But anyway, that's what he said. Now, that would make sense as far as the fulfillment of the old covenant passing over into the new covenant, because the actual blood of the lamb, Jesus was what? The lamb slain where? From the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
That's the only way I would ever think they would ever find it, see, because the new covenant, you know, he is the mercy seat. Scripture tells you he's the propitiation for our sins. Mm-hmm. And that word propitiation is a word. It's called I don't know how you pronounce it exactly. It's like how restroom or something like that. And that same word, that for propitiation is translated as the mercy seat in other places. See? So he was the mercy seat. But that would be a fulfillment of the law, you know, of that blood sacrifice. And that would be, I mean, that if it's true, and I don't know if it's true or not, but supposedly he found a lot of different things, you know. And he supposedly found where they crossed over the, I guess it was the Red Sea and into Arabia, you know. Mm-hmm. And he supposedly found when Moses went up into the mount and you know and got the Ten Commandments, and he says I'm trying to remember exactly how they put it. He says that they say that Mount Ararat, I'm trying to think what was the name of that mountain that he went up into. But they were saying they say it's another place. But if you read in the New Testament, it tells you somewhere that it's in Arabia. Mm-hmm. And that's where you go if you go across where he said you cross. And he said he found, you know, where they built altars and all kind of stuff, you know. And he found a rock over there that was split, you know, big rock that was split. all his different things. And the top of that mountain's black looking. And he said after he found that in Arabia, he said now when you go there, there's a big fence all around it.
And yeah, they don't want you there.
Nobody's allowed to go in there or nothing like that. The Arab people have fenced it off, and they put guards there where you can't get in there no more.
What you said you don't remember what the mountain's name was?
No, I can't remember what it was right off hand. But I mean, this is some of the stuff that he said over the years, and then he said he found where Sodom and Gomorrah was. He said he was driving down the road one day, and he said he looked over and he saw these cliffs, you know, these white-looking cliffs. And he said as he was looking at them, he said he thought, well, some of them look like houses, you know, they almost look like they're dwelling places. And he said he veered off the road and went over there and got over there and looked at them. And he said he found a lot of little places where there was yellow looking rocks, little like rocks. And he said, and if you touched this stuff, it would crumble where these houses were supposed to be like or whatever. He said it would just crumble. And supposedly, this is just some of the stuff he said. And he said that he took a couple pieces of that yellow stuff that he found over there. And he said he put it in a spoon and he lit it. And he said it just burned right through the spoon. You know, it was like sulfur, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like a real high grade of sulfur. And it went rain fire and brimstone. Mm-hmm. And see, and the actual word for brimstone is the word sulfur, and even up in the New Testament. And you'd have to, I did some teaching on that one time about the lake of fire and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to go into all that. I mean, I don't want to take up this whole class. I'm trying not to talk in this class too much, and I'm ended up talking more than I really want to talk. I'd rather you guys just talk.
Well, this guy was either a great archaeologist or the luckiest guy he ever saw.
Well,
if we found them all.
He
was appointed one.
If God shows him these things. He wasn't lucky. Just like when God reveals something to you, it's not luck.
No.
And I can tell you the things that God has shown me over the years, they ain't luck. And it ain't because I'm smarter than anybody else, because I'm not. And I can tell you, he's shown me some things that I didn't hear when I first got saved. I didn't hear him preached for 10 or 15 years.
Well, I think that if we want to learn anything about Ron Hyatt and what he did, don't look at Wikipedia. Because they just say he's fraudulent.
Well, I mean, let's see.
I'd love to see that tape, though.
Well, you know what? Carl had it. I don't know if he still got it or not. I gave it back to him. He let me.
I was going
to
call him and ask.
He let me see it.
I
don't know if he still got it. It was a VHS tape.
I think I've seen it once before.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, I don't know. I'm not. And you can go on the internet and find it. I mean, it's on the internet.
Well, it'd have to be on YouTube then, I guess.
Well,
I looked his name up on Google, and the only thing that came was Wikipedia, saying that he was a fraud. But that doesn't surprise me.
No. To the man's natural mind.
Well,
yes, yes.
The man's natural mind is never going to apprehend or understand any of these things. They're foolishness to him.
Yes.
You know, so if it sounds foolish, maybe if it's for real,
reality,
if it sounds foolish, then maybe it's because you're looking at it with the natural mind.
Right.
You know, if you're looking at it with the natural mind, it's going to seem foolish. Because the things of the spirit are foolishness to man.
Wrong.
But the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man.
Right.
That's what scripture says. But anyway, that's just, I don't know how we even got off into this, but anyway. That's something that he, you know, he said, you know. But we were talking about leprosy, you know, and how we got veered off.
We're talking about
this.
The cleansing part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's you know.
And when Thomas saw Christ appear,
uh-huh.
he said he wouldn't believe unless he could put his hand into
the side,
the
and,
side
his hand.
And, uh-huh. and in uh-huh. here. And it never said there was no blood.
Yeah.
Never said that. When he put it in.
He said when he did that, his next words were, "Oh my Lord."
Yeah.
My Lord and my God.
Yeah, I mean he knew immediately.
He knew Jesus was not only just his Lord then.
Right. But my
he
God.
Was God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My Lord and my God. He
yeah.
knew he was.
Yeah.
And finally, because remember he was doubting Thomas. He was the one that questioned, "Lord, show us."
Yeah.
You know, show us the Father and they'll be sufficient. What did he say to him? Have I been with you so long and you never knew?
Yeah, kind of right.
Well, you know, you're getting no worse.
And then he goes on and says, if you've seen me, you've
seen the
Father.
That's
I mean,
right.
It's just,
that's right.
It's like, It's like, well, you brought it up a while ago. It's like, what was the word you used? That you, when reality breaks forth,
uh-huh.
I said, well, reality's breaking forth the more we accept the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth is not, it's not only the person of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. but it's also the person of Jesus Christ that dwells in every one of us.
Let me ask you a question, okay? When Jesus appeared to them, you know, after he was resurrected, and Thomas was not there.
Right, right, right.
And Jesus unappeared. Mm-hmm. You know, Thomas came and he said, they told him, they said, you know, we've seen the Lord, you know, so on and so forth, or whatever. I'm paraphrasing that. And he said, unless I can stick my hand in his side and stick my fingers in the nail print, I won't believe. So what happened?
He appeared.
Jesus appeared.
Right.
Now, can Jesus walk through walls in the spirit? Well, sure. The spirit can do anything. I mean, you know. So any of the things, any of the things that seems foolish to man, is nothing to God. You know what I mean?
I hate using this word, but he chose.
The foolish.
And I don't know. He chose to hide himself in us.
He did, right.
So that, again, is the same as hiding himself in these walls. I mean, who was it? We had a pastor come to church one time. Amen, walls.
Yeah.
He said, if you don't say it, the walls will praise me.
Yeah, that was...
you know who it is. The red hair guy,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it was him, he was named.
Well, I forget. Anyway.
But the whole thing was, is that's where our acceptance should come in. I mean, where was he? I like that question. Where was he when Jesus was there? He wasn't, but where was when he appeared, then Jesus said, okay, I'll make myself known to him, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that same thing happens in us. When our hope becomes contagious to where it wants to please him, we'll stop hiding Christ within us.
Yeah.
And we'll start saying, well, what should I say? Oh, he'll give you the utterance because he knows you want to be obedient to him.
Well, I will tell you this.
Burn.
Don't never limit God as to what he can and cannot show you. He can show you, and the things that sound the most foolish to you sometimes will be the biggest truths at times. But take an attitude of that on something that you don't know if it's true or not. Just leave it alone. I mean, it's all right to talk about it, but just leave it alone. And like I say, I don't know that this is true, what he said. You know, I haven't been over to Israel and seen any of this or anything. Maybe it's real, maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this, as when he, in that video, that original video, when he talked about it, he was very broken and cried and stuff. And I mean, it was something. I mean, you know, it touched your heart to hear him talk about it. I mean, you know, especially the part about, you know, about him finding the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been looking for that thing forever, you know. And you know, where is it? I mean, I don't know, you know. But you got to realize, that Ark of the Covenant, that was a type and a shadow of the true covenant, you know. And you know what that actually means, that Ark of the Covenant? You know what that actually means? It means a coffin. A word means coffin. So there has to come some death for there to be life. And when they sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, the life of the flesh, scripture says, that's why you're not supposed to, it's according to the law, you're not supposed to eat stuff that's got blood in it. Okay? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. So, and part of the law, it tells you not to eat stuff that has blood in it. You know. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. We know so little, and we think we know. And the things that sound the most foolish, I mean, let's face it, what happened on the day of Pentecost? What did they say after they came out and the Holy Spirit had come into the room and had set cloven tongues of fire up on their head.
What did the other people say?
What did the other people say?
They're drunk.
Yeah, they're drunk. They're drunk. And what did Peter say? These are not drunk as you suppose.
Right.
You
know,
he said, you're looking at the natural. That's not what it is. He said, this is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet.
Yes.
You know. And the whole point about things are, don't ever limit what God's stuff
is. This is from Ron Hyatt.
Yeah.
This is where he...
I tell you what, Carl had that tape. You ought to call him and see if he's still got it.
Ron Hyatt, the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he
tells that whole story of all the different things that he found that led up to this Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. He would go back to Israel for a month or two at a time, and I guess he took his vacations or whatever. But he was actually from Ohio. I think he was either an anesthesiologist or something
like that.
Yeah. I can't remember.
There he is sitting next to it.
Okay, well. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you it's true, it's not true. But I'll tell you this, that's the only way I would think that they would ever find it, would be where the blood of Jesus fell on it. That's it. I mean, that would be a fulfillment of...
What's it say about the Holy Spirit? It'll lead you into what?
It'll lead you to all truth.
All truth.
Yeah, right.
And that should be our purpose here on earth.
But any of that stuff, and like I say, don't limit yourself to that this can't be true, you know, about anything concerning God. Because... anything can be true concerning God. You know, just trust in the Lord. And say, Lord, if this is true, reveal it to me and let me come to understand it. And you know.
What is the one thing that trips you up, or if there is such a thing, in being able to believe?
Well, your natural mind.
No, I mean, what is the one fact in the Bible that it's hard for me to believe the thing about Philip talking to the eunuch and then disappearing.
He quotes that a lot, he said, believing in the truthfulness of the word.
Yeah.
If we'll believe in the truthfulness of the word, where in the word would we not find truth? See, I think we see it in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
That which will gradually become more and more true to you is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well,
or tonight, well,
just
or this
think,
afternoon.
Just think about this. And just in our day, right now, mm-hmm. while we're live right now, just think about this. When I was a kid growing up, I knew that we had, you know, the solar system that we lived in. You know, I knew that, and I knew we had those nine planets or whatever it was, and the sun and all that. And I knew there were stars out there, and supposedly that we were told that those stars were suns, you know, and that's what they were, other suns or other things like that. In this day and age, we found out that they can look back by looking through these telescopes that look back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, they're looking back in time. Now, that sounds hard to believe, mm-hmm. but what it is, they can look back at sources of light before it reached us, mm-hmm. see, because these things are so powerful. Now that sounds so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, to the natural mind, it sounds like, how could that be?
Mm-hmm.
But it is, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a lot of things. Think about Einstein and them guys, okay? Let's just take Einstein. Einstein came up with a theory of relativity and all these other things and stuff. But his brain did not work like yours and mine. He was way smarter than any of us ever thought about being. They perceived that there was atoms and they had a nucleus. They couldn't see them. How did they know that? You know, how did they know that? They figured out things that there was no proof of it. You know what I mean? And then what did they do? That was a theory that in science, they have theories, and then there's this, you have to prove the theory, you know. And they've proved all those theories. Where did that come from? And just imagine if God, even in the natural, if God allows us to function in the full natural mind, what we could accomplish. Mm-hmm. But if he allows us to function in the mind of Christ completely, oh, there's no limitations. There's no limitation. You know, when God said, let there be, guess what?
It was.
It was. It wasn't a, well, maybe it'll be, or it could be, or someday it might be. When he says something, it is. You know, I love what Brother Shepherd used to say all the time. Everyone who comes to God must believe what?
That he is.
That he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yeah.
What does the word is mean? What is it? In tense, what is it?
Present
tense. He is. And if he is, then that means he was, he is, and he will be. He's right. All of it. He always right. is. You know, he's in all realms. There's no limitation to God, you know. And you know, we have a limited mind. We have a limited understanding. And I'm gonna tell you what, to me, as God reveals things to you, you don't realize how stupid you are until he starts showing you things mm-hmm. that are way beyond your natural understanding.
Well, I thought I heard that the scientists said we only use 10% of our brain.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord was telling me, that's because I occupy the other 90%.
Well, that could be. Yeah.
And I'm going like, oh my gosh, just to even think that. And the reality is, that's probably exactly the truth.
Well, and think about the things that the Bible says. Now, when they were out in the boat, and there was a big storm coming, Jesus is laying up in the bow of the boat, asleep. And they're all nervous and everything, and these were fishermen. Mm-hmm. They'd been in some rough seas. This was some extremely rough seas. Mm-hmm. Or they wouldn't have said, they woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care, we perish. You know, they thought they were going to die. Oh, you of little faith, he says.
Yes.
Don't you know the master of the seas laying up in the front of the boat?
Right, Prince of Peace right there.
And what did he say? Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And not only was there a great calm, but they were right where they were trying to go instantly. No rowing, no waiting for the wind to blow them there.
They were there.
They were there. Mm-hmm. And see, our natural mind can't even begin to comprehend that in the natural. And until we can really look in with the eyes of the Spirit, there's nothing to impossible with God. All things are possible. That was the one thing. That was the one thing I'll say about. I'm trying to think of his name, the faith healer guy, years ago. Oral Roberts. That was the one thing that the songs they used to sing all the time. Mm-hmm. Only believe, all things are possible. You know,
right.
That was their theme song.
Right.
Well, you know what? All things are possible in God.
Yeah.
Now, the impossibility is our believing it. We just have to realize if you limit yourself as to what you believe or what you're capable of believing, then it's going to be hard for God to break through into those areas of the real far out there stuff. You know what I mean? I don't put no limitations on God. I mean, I have no limitations on him. What he can and can't do, and what he can and can't do in us. I don't put them there, because they'll have to get knocked down eventually. You know. But anyway, this thing with Hyatt, you know. If you get a chance to read it, you want to look at it. I don't know, I have no idea if it's true, if it's not true. I don't know anything about it other than I've read it, I said, and I've seen the tape. Girl gave me the tape. And I've actually seen some other things since then. But, I've heard people try to explain away the parting of the Red Sea. I've heard them try to explain away the parting of the Jordan.
So,
they said, well, there was a big earthquake up above on the Jordan, and it fell in there and stopped the water.
Yeah, right.
And they walked over on dry land. Well, who cleared it out for the water to flow back? you know.
The engineers are on the job.
Sometimes trying to debunk this stuff, it's harder to believe the stuff that they say it didn't happen than it did, you know. And think about what took place there. The priests, only the priests were to carry the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and the priests stepped down into the brink of the water. In other words, and what did they do? And the Lord dealt with me about that one time. I believe what he said to me was, "Son, I've called you to help the body of Christ grow up." And that's what I've tried to do with the people here, you know, in the sense of the things that I've told you over the years that the Lord revealed to me. And the thing about it is that the priest stood there and watched everybody else go on past. And I've had people say to me that have come, ministers that have come in here, "How does your church function?" And I said, "Well, you know, we believe in the body of Christ growing up." And I told him, I said, "You know, basically, any of the brothers or sisters can get up." "Oh my gosh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't let people up there like that." I said, "Yeah, I can." I've told you guys this story about that guy that came into the Sunday school class back years ago when I was teaching Sunday school. A particular brother, I won't mention the name, came up to me and said, "Oh my God, brother so-and-so is here." "Oh, Oscar, he's going to create problems. You know, watch it, you know." I said, "I'm not worried about that." I said, "This is not my Sunday school class. This is God's Sunday school class. He's perfectly capable of keeping it in order, and he's a God of order, not of confusion." He was there for 2 or 3 weeks in a row. I gave definitions to words and deeper stuff. I didn't go in any other translation. Not before it came out of King James. But I gave definitions for words and what they really meant. Not a peep out of him. The brother who said that to me got up to preach on a Sunday morning, and that guy jumped up and went against him. What's scripture say? The thing I feared the most did what?
Came upon me.
I seen that happen. Now, I'm telling you, that's one reason why we've not had too many kooks come in here. Because this, that used to happen at Wings sometimes years ago. When we were down in Elmwood, we'd get some weird people come in there once in a while. And Jeff Porter, I was talking to him with he got up and led that guy out, you know, because he was going against the brother, you know, that was up there speaking. Because he was not using the King James Version of the Bible. You know. So, anyway, like I say, I don't know how we got off into this, but maybe it was something we needed to get off into, you know.
Clyde, would you close us in the word?
Precious Lord, we do believe that you're in total control.
Yes, amen.
And we confess it with our mouth and in our hearts. We know that we know that we know. It is you, it is you, it is you. In the midst of all of us.
No, yes.
So Lord, even when people come against the Lord, what they don't know, let us just celebrate because you are in control in that.
Yes.
Because you do all things in order. Mm-hmm. So Lord, we just ask the Lord that you have your way in the service coming up, that the worship and praise will be to honor your living God. You. And Lord, in all that, may we have ears to hear what your Spirit would say, and may we feast in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.